Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Great news! Today's show is sponsored by our good friends at Ghostbed. Go to ghostbed.com/Norton, use promo code Norton, and get up to 10% off on top of their already reduced prices. I love my Ghostbed. Thanks, Ghostbed. Ooh! What am I going to be doing right after this is over? Driving to Millvale, Pennsylvania. I'm doing Thursday night. Then August 1st and 2nd, I zip down to beautiful Baltimore. Next weekend, I go to Dallas, Fort Worth, and I go to Charlotte, Duluth, Columbia, Fargo, Bakersfield, San Diego, Rochester, Denver, Batavia, Illinois, Portland, Eugene, Bend, Oregon, Huntington, New York, Newton, New Jersey, not Bangor, Maine, but it's some Herman, Maine. And then I'm going to Foxwoods in Connecticut, Boston at the Wilbur to close out the year. JimNorton.com. I know my tour name stinks. I'm working on it. Oh, I'm drunk.
Jim Norton can't save you. Jim Norton is a train wreck. Jim can't help you solve your own problems. Jim is an idiot.
Most people are not qualified to give advice. But it's fun to do anyway, because all of us have people ask us questions. You actually do kind of work with troubled people.
Yeah, yeah. I was on drugs, jail. I've been in jail. I was homeless. Did all that stuff, and right. Now I'm like a peer mentor.
I think guys who have done stuff like that, who've been to jail or who are in recovery, are much better than a therapist who has only read things or studied things and has no like experiential knowledge.
Well, the therapists that I did my best work with were therapists and social workers who came up through the institution part. You know what I mean? Like they worked in institutions.
Right.
I didn't really open up any doors with anybody who just like had a private practice or anything like that. He was like talking to like housewives or.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or like dads who can't get hard anymore or something.
Yes,
like that,
or guys who are not dads who have a hard time getting hard, which would be me.
Me also.
Have you struggled?
Oh, my God.
It's the worst.
The older I get, dude, I feel like my penis is shrinking, too. I feel like it's like going back inside my body.
Have you put weight on?
Oh, yeah.
That's what it is. Yeah. That's what it is. I fattened up a little bit, too. And that's almost a great way to motivate you to lose weight. When you start to see your dick is like, ooh, it's taking a hit.
The worst is when your girl doesn't care, though. She's like, oh, you're perfect how you are.
Yep.
And then I'll just keep fucking getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
They do that on purpose. My wife is always telling me like, oh, no, you look great. Like, first of all, I look like a pile of shit. I don't look great. I have a fucking frog neck. She wants me to get fat for two reasons, because I won't cheat. And she also knows that if I have a stroke, she can take all this shit off the wall and redecorate if I'm there fucking talking out of a corner of my mouth. So she kind of wants me, I think, to be dependent on her. And you do stand up, of course.
Yeah.
And I was watching some of your clips, and you talk about like you know your life and your clips, which I like that you do that.
Yeah, yeah. It's all jail robbery drugs.
It is.
And sometimes it's very hard to get people to laugh at.
It's hard to get them to relate to it. Yeah, because I guess with something like that, if you talk about failed erections, there's a way to get guys to relate. But if you're talking about I was in prison.
Yeah.
It's okay. Now I have to teach you this because most guys have not experienced it.
Yeah. I got to get them to really like me first with some like, you know, touchy little easy horse shit and then go into that.
How did you rob people?
All different kinds of ways. I have a joke. I used to do it at fist point sometimes.
Oh, really?
Especially with the hipsters in Brooklyn. You don't need a gun. I've done it, you know, through sheer intimidation, numbers with weapons, all that stuff. Yeah.
And do you... when you look back on that,
right,
how do you feel? Like, how do you feel? I mean, again, it's the price of addiction.
Horrible. Yeah. I feel very bad about it. Sometimes I'll be like ready to go to bed, and then my eyes will just pop open because of something that popped into my head that I had done.
Do you remember specific like moments? Like, oh God, the look on that woman's face.
Yes.
Or that guy's
yeah.
face.
I was actually, I was joking around with a couple people about it the other day, where sometimes you would, you know, you'd be in the midst of committing a strong arm robbery, and some people will go, they go, what's happening right now? Or they go, why are you doing this to me? And just the tone sometimes would be enough to like kind of make you giggle.
I was not expecting it to go. I thought he was going to say, I would go home, I would stop.
You know, they're like, why are you doing this? Why is this happening? Like, and then there was, you know, other times I didn't just rob regular people. Like, I've robbed drug dealers before, too. And they used to make me laugh because, you know, back in the, it's different now. Now there's drug delivery services. Guys used to sell drugs, like, on the street.
The corner, yeah.
And they'd have shifts. It was ran like a real business. These guys would do 8 hours. Next guy would do eight, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, you watch them. You figure out what their movements are. And then, you know, you'd make your move. But I remember I was robbing this guy one time. He goes, you don't know who I am, do you? I was like, no, I absolutely know who you are. I've been watching you for 2 days.
That's so, why yeah, I'm yeah, robbing you. Yeah. You have money.
I 100%. He's like, no, you need to ask around. I'm like, no, I'm good. I have all the information I need.
Now you yeah. would use a gun.
Sometimes, yes.
Yeah, I guess for a guy like
no
that.
No bullets.
No? I'm so stupid. I would be such a robbery victim. You just want to hold my wallet. All right, you sure? I am a total ass.
There was times I went to like do stuff like that, and if the person gave pushback... Yeah, like I'm, you know, one guy picked up a lead pipe. I was like, all right, fucking chalk this one up.
What did you?
I didn't have whatever I was going to do, throw a fucking the gun at him.
Oh, you really didn't have bullets?
No.
Oh, I thought you were kidding.
Sometimes I did, but there was times that happened. One time I was real dope sick, right? So I tried to rob a little Haji spot. And like when I would get dope sick, I would like make my eyes tear. You know, I'd start to,
yeah.
I'd yawn, and my eyes would be tearing. And then sometimes you get so sick, I'd actually almost be really crying. And the guy starts having a conversation with me. He's like, come on, son, you don't need to do this. And I'm like, man, I'll fucking blow your head off. And he's like, you don't want to do that. And like, I just started to actually cry.
Yeah.
And then I was like, all right, fucking, I got to go find
And you
somebody.
Left?
Yeah, I left. Fucking left.
Did you? Because, you know, when we get clean or sober, you make amends at one point. But some people, it's hard to make amends to. Right? Like, you can't go
out. I'll never find those people again. There's sure. some people I made amends to that I was able to reach back out to. Like, one guy, he owned, like, a pizzeria that I had robbed. And I spoke to him. And he was like, I just want you to keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
It was very... once I got in there, I was like, this is stupid. Like, this guy's going to fucking... hit me with a pizza slicer.
Yeah. Or fuck, you never know, like, how much of a grudge is somebody carrying? What do I say?
Because I know how I am. I fucking, you know, still remember shit from when I was 5 years old. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Me so, too.
Yeah.
That's made me who I am sexually. You have to look like an older neighbor. Can you hold my head and I'll pretend not to be scared? But yeah, that's kind of how it is. You know, it that's just the shit that molds you. And how much time have you done in jail?
All together was like over 8 years.
Oh, wow.
I did a lot of skid bids year here.
What's a skid
18,
bid?
18 months here.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a long time, though.
Yeah, one and a third to threes.
And those yeah. are jail or prison?
Jail. And then, you know, I did a bunch of time in jail. And then, yes, I was sent up north, too.
And we're going to have callers call in, ask for advice, make comments. But I think about jail. I've done one day in jail.
Where?
One night down at the Tombs.
Okay.
I was.
Could be a scary place.
It was. It was. Yeah. It was a radio stunt. We were on a bus, bunch of naked girls, and me and Lewis Black
uh-huh.
were cellmates. If you know Lewis,
yeah, I know who
we weren't doing anything to protect ourselves, but it made me never want to go back.
There was like a lot of homeless guys in there, I would imagine, pissing in front of you, shitting in front of you, stunk, right?
Stunk.
Yeah.
It smells like it's not. There was nine of us they arrested, so they kind of put us all in one big cell.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a weird type of smell. It's hard to just. It's like a weird old rot, a
right.
body odor rot, not yeah. armpit. But like the stench of a body that's decaying.
Yeah. It's like hospital mixed with something else. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yes, old person home.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I did
yeah.
community service when I was a kid, and the old people walk down the hall and you still smell them. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, I'd never experienced that type of fucking smell.
I did some shit like that when I was a kid too. I was working, doing some volunteer work in an old person home. But I remember this lady's skin was like flaking off. Like big fucking pieces of it. It was horrible. It was gross.
It's funny what sticks with you, right?
Yeah, yeah. I'll never forget that.
And here's a question. When you go, because everyone wants to ask about prison because most of us haven't gone to it, and it's a fascinating place for people who haven't gone. Like, you know what I mean? It's this terrifying fucking world.
Yeah.
Do you ever stop being scared when you're in jail?
I mean, me personally, I feel like you can get comfortable with what your surroundings are, but I mean, there's always, depending on especially like who you're around or like who you're moving around with, like there's this back of your mind, something could happen. And it's fucking jail.
It's always there.
With criminals, you know what I mean? There are people who did something bad and are put behind bars. So yes, something could happen.
So you, there's always that awareness.
It's not even the other inmates. Sometimes the fucking CEOs can be jerk offs. It's not like a big difference. Sometimes I feel like between them and the people that they're watching.
Really?
Especially if they do a double, you know, a double shift.
Oh yeah,
you
yeah.
You know what I mean? You go home for 4 hours, come right back.
They're a bit ornery by the second one.
Absolutely, yeah.
We got some callers too. If you want to call in, feel free.
Hey, how's it going, guys? I just had a quick question for you, Jim.
Sure.
Your next birthday, you will be the grand age of 57 years young.
Yay.
You get an Uncle Paul.
Yay.
An Uncle Paul podcast out of you.
Maybe on that birthday, yes. I am going to be 57, the age of Uncle Paul. It's a character I would do. Maybe I'll do a whole podcast like that. You can call in. Get yourself a kiss.
I swear, there's old stuff of Opie and Anthony that I love to show people of your greatest hits. Of when you were Uncle Paul, and just to watch their face
disgust
when you say things, it brightens my day every time I ruin someone else's.
Well, thank you, Eric. I appreciate it. And that's the effect I have. Yes. Matt Rife, every woman in the world wants to fuck. I get, hey, if I really want to disgust people to get them to leave, I show them your old radio stuff. Thanks, Eric. I appreciate the call.
Absolutely.
Be good. All right, who do we got next? You're on the phone with Derek Drescher and Jim.
I like how I like how Lewis Bull rushes way into that venue first time and sort of making all these crazy promises and shit.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about.
I feel
what did Lewis bum rush? Lewis bum rushed his way into what? I'm not surprised. That's Lewis's energy.
That's not my question. But should I go pay more money to watch Luis J. Gomez? Has his back gotten any better?
Okay, no. All right. What is your?
All right, fuck it. I'm gonna give him some money. Anyway.
All right, go see him. Feel sorry for him.
The fact that he's doing the sober thing. I respect that. So
okay. What is your question?
Anyway, here's my question. Yeah. I'm 49 years old. I've never done comedy. Never done stand up. I'm at that point in my life where people say, you know, I feel like I might have something to say. Maybe I do, maybe I don't. You know what I mean? People tell you're funny, big fucking deal. Everybody gets that. I'm sure, you know, you guys' early stages as comedians, people told you that, but you took it further. You developed, an act, jokes, everything. Mm-hmm. But like Derek, especially, you know, like, were you older when you first started doing stand up?
Yeah, I was in my mid 30s. I'm 43 now, so I'm like, I think about 8 years in. It was rough, especially that age, having to hang out and, you know, doing 4 or 5 mics a day and sometimes some more.
Were you like after all the bad stuff in your life is when you started?
Yeah.
Or was it in the middle of it?
I had about almost two years clean.
Oh, and okay. I started doing stand-up.
Yeah, I started doing stand-up, yeah.
How did it compare? Oh, hold on, sir. Being scared of a stand-up audience is a different type of fear, obviously, than you're going to have when you walk into a penitentiary. What was the difference in those?
I mean, big difference. I never felt threatened by anybody at an open mic.
Yeah, I guess.
It's just like I could rob this place if I wanted to. I'll take the whole bucket.
Is the sexual stuff we hear about, like the threat of it, is it as scary, or is that like it can happen, or is it something like, no, you're always aware of it?
No, I mean, there's gay guys who are incarcerated, and then there was a lady who had long hair and she had tits. She did have a penis, but she was there also.
Sure, she's in the next room.
So there's gay happening around you, but I never witnessed anything that was not consensual.
Oh, it was not forced. Okay.
Yeah, never, ever. There was one guy who told us a story. He was like, he was a porter, and he said he was like over by the slop sink. Somebody hit him in the back of the head and tried to like bend him over the sink. But I was like, did you see who they were? And he was like, no, not. So that's the only thing I ever heard.
Did you believe him?
No.
You thought he was lying?
Yeah, I thought he was lying. I don't believe victims.
Oh. Believe no women. All right, thank you for the call, sir. Did you think that he had been assaulted or that he knew who it was and wasn't saying it?
Either that or he was just making it up. And I was like, what a wild thing to do, you know? I'm like, so you didn't get a look? No, I couldn't see.
But he's saying they didn't fuck him, though.
They didn't. He said they tried to get his pants down. They hit him in the head with something.
So maybe that was his thing. Like, hey, don't try this because I'm tough to get.
And then I walked into a couple guys blowing each other. I never saw any ass fucking, though.
What did you? Where were they blowing each other? The bathroom?
They were in the bathroom, in the shower.
And did you comment, or did you just turn around and leave?
Well, nobody knew those guys were gay.
Oh.
So that becomes a whole different thing.
Then you like, well.
Well, they had to give me some stuff in return.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
See, I would thought you'd be afraid because, hey, you know something, you saw something you shouldn't see.
Right.
Does that make you, are you in danger? Like,
you could be.
Depends on who the guys are, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
If it's two giant gang members blowing each other, you're like, oh, fuck, I didn't see
that. It was two guys you would never know, too. They did a good job. They should have fucking won an Academy Award for that.
And how did you ask for different stuff? Did you stop? Did you let them finish? Or did you just totally wreck the whole vibe and go, who's got a candy bar?
Everybody stopped.
Oh.
And food did get mentioned.
Really?
Yeah. They're like, yeah, we'll have like a bag of soups and stuff for you.
No, they said that?
Yeah.
All right, that's nice.
Yeah.
Everybody knows how it works. I would say, thank you, gentlemen. And then you should have got blown yourself. That would have been great.
Harold and Jose, hope you guys are doing good. Hope everything's going
well. Hope you're out and still together. Or who's next on the phones?
Yeah. My name is Richard. Yeah, this is Richard Treehouse.
Okay, I got the reference. Thank you for the call, Richard.
Who the fuck is Richie Treehouse?
Richard Treehouse was the fact that this is how bad this caller was. It's an old Anthony story from Opie and Anthony, where he was in a treehouse with a boy named Richard, and they were dozing off, and Richard was gay, and he said to Anthony, he goes, psst, do you want a blowjob? And Anthony was so upset, he just pretended to be sleeping. So he was going, eep, 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 like he was sleeping. But that was this Richard, who completely collapsed on the phone.
Right.
I said, hey, Richard. He went, hey, Richard, you fucking forgot your lines.
Send it back.
Yeah. All right. Who's anybody?
He's supposed to ask you if you wanted a blowjob.
Absolutely. Yeah. I would have said, certainly. And he went, jeep, jeep, jeep. And I would have been like, you're doing the wrong part. What's your name?
Hey, my name's Carolina, or you can call me Austin. I'm just...
Oh shit! Oh,
because I got a question.
Get the fuck out of here!
You
what's up,
Austin?
Yeah, I know this fucking. I know this fucking ex-con.
Oh,
what's going on?
Yeah, I got a small hot and bother from all this sexual assault we're talking about. I just got home 2 years ago yesterday.
Now, Austin, you're a much better looking man than me. Were you ever? Were you ever propositioned?
Yes.
Yes, that is the answer. No, you took too long to answer. Yes. You were propositioned. What did you do?
How do they proposition you? Like, what do they say? What do they say?
Oh, he's got it.
What do you mean? Like, when they propose?
Yeah, when they proposition.
They ask you all kinds of stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Look, we could do this the easy way, or we could do this the hard way.
Yeah.
I hope you choose the hard
way. No, go ahead. What's going on, buddy?
Here's your question, fellas. I've been home for 2 years, moved up here with absolutely nothing. I had like $200, but I spent like $80 on the train smashing beers. So I came here, I'm doing pretty well for myself now, but it's not enough. So my question is, I'm thinking about selling my meaty dog because it's like not frowned upon nowadays. But what I can't seem to figure out is, what is the appropriate price to prostitute myself? Like, what is an acceptable fee?
Ooh, great question. I mean,
he's a good-looking guy. I know him personally.
You could probably get a lot more than I would.
Thank you.
I mean, fair market value.
I think I'm in the same boat as Jim. Yeah. This might be the wrong guys to talk to about.
Yeah, you're talking to two Woolworth bin guys. We're not high-priced, high-valuable merchandise.
Yeah, I'm saying for me, probably $12-$13. And that's. But
nice.
You're in very good shape. And you're handsome.
Now, are you
thank you, bro.
Yeah.
Are you gay or straight?
I used to shoot crack. Very straight.
Okay.
Well, up to this point.
He's too straight, Jim.
Oh, so you're thinking of being gay for pay.
He gets himself into some, right? You still getting in trouble with the ladies or no? All right.
No
trouble.
No more trouble with the ladies. They got me.
So
got me good.
I would think that you, I don't know, like $1,000 a date, five to 1,000, 500 to 1,000,
maybe 500.
About.
Yeah,
This is exactly the type of ego stroke I needed. Thanks.
But you're going to be fucking like 67-year-old broads here.
Or men.
Oh, true.
Or men. It's going to be mostly guys.
No. No men, dude. No men. But old ladies, I respect my elders. I'll take care of them.
Okay. You're gonna, the first... Old lady who wants her ass eaten. You're gonna, you know what, guys, wouldn't be that bad.
Yeah, let's go.
Compared to this, I just want you to kiss me.
It's past the sell-by date.
Let's just kiss, and I'll talk about my grandson after. And you're like, you know what? Where's Mike? I'll fuck him. Thanks, Austin. Thank you.
Nice. Good to hear from you, buddy.
Thank you, fellas. Have a great one.
All right. Good luck.
That's awesome.
Glad you called in. Yeah. Did you get propositioned, or do they kind of?
Me, no. I never. It's fucking ridiculous.
That's hurtful. I'm sorry I brought that up.
Yeah, no, never not once, Jim.
Hold the presses. A lot of people have been criticizing my new look lately. Oh, Jim, you look like an ass. But I don't think so. I think it's stylish, and I'm feeling reinvigorated and more energy. Why? Because I'm sleeping better. Falling asleep in the summer is brutal. Even with the AC blasting, you're stuck flipping your pillow from side to side. It's hot, it's cold, it's hot, it's cold. Again and again and again. Your mattress, it traps heat. Forget it. That's where Ghost Bed can help. I use a Ghost Bed pillow. One side is very, very cool and comfortable. I love putting my little fat face on it. Oh, I just like to relax. Even though I get a little spooked out by ghosts. Ooh. Now, if you hated my look before, you probably don't like me anymore with these on. But look, I can be funny. Oh, I'm drunk. I have to fall asleep in my bed. It's cold. I'm drunk. Ghostbed.com. Their entire collection is designed with cooling in mind. Breathable foam layers to cool to the touch. Covers that actually pull heat away from your body. So whether you're like a naturally hot sleeper like I am, and not hot in the good way, just a sweaty pig. I'm just a wet slug laying in a bed uncomfortable. I'm going to be sweating all through July and August, but no. Ghost Bed is a mattress that can help you out, and it helped me chill out. Literally, I love my Ghost Bed mattress. The Lux mattress is the top seller for a reason. It's got a patented cooling tech, and their exclusive Pro Core layer gives your hips and backs the support you need so you're not going to wake up all stiff and uncomfortable. Ghost Bed mattresses are competitively priced. They're up to 50% less than other brands. Right now, my listeners can knock another 10% off the price that they already have, which is already low, for a limited time, plus 101-night sleep trial, fast and free shipping, 20 to 25-year warranty. All of that aside, I sleep uncomfortably warm, and Ghost Bed is cooling. The pillows are amazing. I love my Ghost Bed. I love the sheets. This is a product that I really love doing reads for. Go to ghostbed.com/Norton and use the promo code Norton to get an extra 10% off. They're already reduced prices. Let's be honest. A lot of you watching this, you're little slug boys just like me, laying uncomfortable, sweat collecting under your bosoms. Ghost Bed helps you cool off. Ghostbed.com/promo code, sorry, I'm getting spooked. Whoa. Ghostbed.com/Norton, promo code Norton. Upgrade your sleep with Ghost Bed, makers of the coolest beds in the world. Ooh. Who's up next?
Speaking of Blinky, this is John from Washington.
Welcome, John from Washington. How are you, John? You're on with Derek and myself.
Hey, Jamie, I got a moral issue I got. So recently I came upon a pretty good inheritance after my grandma passed away.
Okay.
I don't want to spend it all on custom porno.
Okay, what's your question? Are you waiting for me to stand up and applaud? Because I will. That's the best spending of a fucking inheritance.
So wait, what's custom porn? They'll do whatever you ask type of stuff?
Yeah, what is that?
Kinda. I want to pay this girl online to fill up a tub full of chocolate and dip herself in it.
Come on, no, you don't. That's a waste.
Yeah.
That's a waste. Chocolate. Stop with food and sex. It's not sexy. Women, stop doing this. Stop putting whipped cream on your nipples, you pussy. It's not hot. It's stupid. I don't want chocolate sauce on my dick.
I can't eat when I'm having sex.
I can't either. It's awful.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Yeah. Hey, could you put a Reuben in your anus? Yeah. I'm legitimately hungry. All right, so what is your question, sir? God bless your grandmother.
Yes,
you got the inheritance. Yeah. What do you really want to do with the money? And how much money is it, since we don't know you?
About 50 grand. And when I spoke to this lady, she said it'd be about 10K.
That's right.
I guess that's where I want to ask, because I've never done this stuff before. And if you think that's too much, because I feel like it's too much, but I don't know.
It's a dumb thing to waste your money on. Here's what you do. Wait for either whether Tesla, Nvidia, just look around for any stock that you think is good. Spend the 10 grand on that. Don't go near it because throwing it out on some fucking fatso and pudding.
Yeah, yeah.
What are you going to jerk off once?
Yeah.
Wreck a sock and now you're out 10,000?
Yeah.
That's a crazy waste of money. Invest it and jerk off and realize that you just wanted to do something that you haven't been able to do. So go out for a nice steak dinner with a girl. Spend fucking $600 on dinner and you'll be good.
Maybe you pick up a girl and you fill up your own tub with chocolate.
That's right. Why not? Just buy the pudding.
I'll try that, Jimmy. Thank you so much.
All right. You're welcome, sir. God bless.
That might be the best advice I've ever given in my life.
Yeah. But fill up your own tub with pudding, stupid.
Yeah.
Don't pay some lady.
On a video, thousands of miles away.
You know how because then she'd stand up and she'd say something unsexy.
Yeah.
Ah, there's pudding on me. You know, something kill your vibe. Oh, I hate food and sex. Who's next? Anyone else sexually repulsive on the phone? Hello.
Hello. I just had a quick question about being present and, not just, being in the moment a lot more and not overthinking things and stuff like that.
I do it sometimes. I forget shit, though. I have to relearn it.
What is your question about how to do it?
Yeah, how to be more present.
Well, it depends on what you're doing. Like, being present, there's times on stage even where I'm fucking zoned out a little bit. And I'm like, get back to where you are. Everyone's mind wanders. It depends on what do you do for a living? Do you like fucking, do you handle old dynamite?
I work at a bakery.
Oh, yeah. I guess you got to be present sometime.
A bunch of blackened rolls. You're like, what the fuck are you doing? Oh, sorry. That was fantasizing. What do you think about when you zone out?
Problems. It's not really anything fun. It's more just dwelling.
What kind of... Are you okay talking about the problems a little bit? Or?
Yeah, go ahead. We don't know you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
No, yeah. When I was young, when I was in preschool, a young lad, my sister me, that has some residual effects, it can affect things sexually. Another big part of it is when I am having sex, I my mind goes back to some of those lovely times as a kid, it can kind of take you out of the moment.
Hold on. Now, how old was she and how old were you?
I was 4 and she was 14.
Oh, that's a huge difference.
Damn, 10 years.
Yeah, it was your fault.
That's what I've been trying to tell my therapist.
No, I thought...
Running around in your Mickey Mouse shirt and...
I thought she was like 5 and you were 4.
Damn,
I thought you were
damn,
both
man.
Toddlers.
Shit.
You were... Oh, she was all way older than you.
Do you talk to her anymore now, right?
She was much older. What was that?
Do you talk to her?
Rarely.
Okay.
Have you talked to her about this?
Only when I'm jerking off.
Well,
it all came out when I was maybe 17. I didn't tell my parents or anything like that. And she was supposed to come over and sleep over. And, I thought, this is a little... I was just very uncomfortable with it. So it all came out. I told everybody and everything like that. I talked to her on the phone and, all in that one big moment revealed, hey, I told mom and dad and all that. And she just kind of denied it.
So
just, we don't really talk now.
Are you like... Because a lot of stuff that happens when you're kids, all of a sudden you realize it helps mold who you are sexually.
Right.
Do you like older women now? Oh, yeah. Like, do the memories of that turn you on or repulse you?
I think it turns me on.
Yeah.
Not older women, but just that whole situation of like, she wasn't my stepsister or anything. But, stepsister porn and more realistic kind of shit like that. Very situational.
Mm. Situational turns me on, too. You're right. Like, it's got to be some type of a relationship where something's inappropriate. Yeah.
Scary, dangerous.
Yeah. It's interesting. What is your... How do you think about that a lot? So you're zoning out. Why don't you... Do you go to therapy?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask, too.
I do go to therapy.
Okay.
I don't... And zoning out isn't always, sitting there thinking about... in my dick. It's, you know, other things come into play. But with, you know, sexually, when I'm having sex, it kind of ruined my last relationship. I couldn't really be present while we were having sex because I was thinking of, you know, that kind of stuff. And then also trying not to think about that kind of stuff. Then you're, you know, yourself over.
Can wear you down, yeah.
Yeah, you fantasize about being almost the young victim in a situation.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. I guess that's kind of normal when you're a kid. That stuff molds you. I don't know the answer to it. I would say therapy is definitely the way to go because I've got enough of my own childhood stuff. And it might play out how I act in adulthood. Like I'm more submissive sexually. Like I want my face sat on. Mm-hmm. But I don't fantasize about being young. But I still situationally would want to be
like dominated.
The less consensual of the two. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, it very hyper-sexualized as well. So every situation is sexual. Every interaction with somebody, you know, it's always there.
Do you have any brothers or sisters, or is it just her? Besides her, I mean.
Yeah, I have two brothers and two sisters.
Now, did anything happen with any of them? Or do you ever use this against them? Like point out how ugly they must have been if you were the only one?
No, I was a handsome young boy. My one brother molested my sister, I think.
Oh, Jesus.
And I think that's why she did it to me.
God damn.
So.
Right.
Yeah.
So how old was he? Was he older? How much older was he to her?
He's maybe 5 years older than her.
Okay, so 19, 14, and 5. Wow. All right, yeah, so it's kind of... And have you guys ever just sat down and all talked about this? Like, about what it... Like, because everybody was young, so maybe if you talk about it, you tell her what it did to you or why she did it, maybe she'll be comfortable telling you why she did it or what she was thinking.
Yeah, no, I've thought about that. There was just some conflict in the way things were handled after the fact. Like, when I did kind of come out and say... Hey, this happened and all this kind of stuff. She handled it in a more aggressive way, like, fuck you, you're a piece of shit, nothing ever happened, I'm going to sue you, I'm going to, you know, all this kind of bullshit. So it makes that, you know, any kind of resolution a lot harder. Mm.
Okay, well, thank you for the call. Here's what you ought to do. You ought to get all your brothers and sisters together and talk about this. Like, go somewhere neutral, not your place. Sit there and have them all talk about it and say it. And at the very end, say thank you very much. And then have a curtain open and realize there's a studio audience. Watch it. And they'll go, that's why you were miking us. And go, yes, of course. Yeah. You didn't realize there was a reason. Yeah. If she's going to be shitty about it, I guess just talk to a therapist.
And then concentrate on your breathing.
Yeah, absolutely. Focus on your breath. Yeah, focus on your breathing.
In through the nose, out through the mouth.
Yes, but then again, that's what she would say to him. Breathe through your nose, not through your mouth. Fucking up the suction. All right, who's on next? Hello.
Hopefully that guy's all right.
Yeah, he'll be fine. I mean, come on. We all have childhoods. We are all a little naughty.
Yeah.
It's really interesting what people deal with in childhood and like how that kind of affects your adult life. Do you have any weird stuff for me? Like, I've been very open about what a little perv I was as a kid.
Yeah, when I was a kid, there was this. There's a lot of trauma just through what the adults were doing around me, which is just like, you know, substance abuse, domestic violence, just, you know, a lot of very loud, crazy upbringing. So it shaped me 100% because there was a lot of points in my life where the way I get people to listen to me is to get very loud and be violent.
Yeah. Is that hard on stage not to do? Because, I mean, if I could do that, that's how I would handle hecklers.
I have 100% threatened crowds before. I haven't done it in a while.
Yeah.
Since I started, like, getting paid to do comedy.
Sure.
And stuff like that, you know. But, there'd be times where, you know, I would threaten to throw the mic stand into the middle of the crowd. Especially if I was doing well. I'd be like, well, maybe this will get a reaction out of you if I throw this 50-pound fucking stand.
Sure.
Maybe crack somebody's skull open.
Sure, yeah. I'm behind you if you do it. You got my support. I don't know what an audience member did, but it's their fault, and you should hit them with a fucking mic stand across the base of the head, baby. Have you ever had a physical confrontation with an audience member?
No. Thank God. Well, I have not. I have had physical confrontations to do with comedy. Like, back when I did the barking thing twice. I got into a fight both times.
Really?
Yeah.
Was it because they were rude or ignored you, or were they shitty?
So the first guy was a piece of shit, and he was just bothering everybody who was out there. Mm. But the second guy did absolutely nothing wrong, and I thought he was going to do something, and I just hit him.
Wow.
It was getting, the tickets went flying up in the air.
And they all have Derek written on them, so he knows who it was. So wait, the first guy, how did it happen? He was just hassling, and he hassled you, or were you preemptive?
We were doing a show on Bleecker. Sure. And it was like a Monday or Tuesday night, and that particular club doesn't get like a lot of foot traffic. You gotta like bark people.
You gotta hustle them in. Yeah.
So we, me and Gio, we had a team of like four or five kids out there fucking barking, you know, to do 7-8 minutes or whatever we're gonna do. And then I every time I'd go around just to check on them, they were like, "Hey, this guy's bothering us," and he was this crazy guy. He was definitely crazy, but he looked like he was put together, so he wasn't like. Like on the street or right. anything like that. And he tried to attack one of the barkers, and I got in between them. I told the kid, I was like, "Just go, you know, go get out of here." And he was like, "I don't want to turn my back." And I was like, "Look at me. I'm not going to let him get to you." So then it's just me and him there. And now he's just following me around. He like following me around that whole loop, McDougal, Bleecker, all that.
Yeah.
And he spit towards me, called me a f-it, right? And then I go back up towards the club on Bleecker, and he's a little further up the block. And he's still saying, "Hey, you know, you piece of shit, fucking, no one wants your fucking tickets." And I'm getting like upset. And then my friends over there are like, "What are you getting mad at this fucking guy for? He's crazy. He's not talking to you, right?"
Yeah.
And then he goes, "Hey, you in the yellow hoodie." And I was wearing a yellow hoodie.
Yep.
And he's like, "You fucking f-it." And then I just ran towards him, and we end up getting into the physical altercation. He ran into a building. It was pretty funny, man. He ran into a building. So the doorman's there. He's like, "Hey, man, you got to get out of here." This little Spanish guy. And so why we got into our initial physical confrontation, his phone fell. It was like his gloves, something else. And somebody picked up the phone. I'm like, "Hey, put that down. That's like fucking, they'll hit you with a charge for that. You know, it's like felony, fucking robbery." Like, you know. So he comes out and he's like, "Hey, man." He's like, "Hey, I apologize for what happened. I was just like my phone back." So we give him the phone back. As soon as we give him the phone back, he goes, "Man, fuck you guys." He goes, "I beat the shit out of all of you." And then we end up fighting again. And while we were fighting, a fucking like concrete vase fell over and hit my foot. So I had like a fuck broke toe. Somebody called the cops. We had to get in. It was the first time I ever ran from a crime getting into a Prius. And driving off.
And as you're driving away, you see people just walking faster than you. Passing you.
But that let me know too, right there, that day where I was like, I'm like, I don't got it like I used to anymore. I can't be rolling around on the ground with people.
Yeah, you know, getting older.
I'm getting older.
And you're sober. It's harder when you're sober and not fucked up, right?
Oh, dude, I hit the guy square. Boom. Nothing. You're just standing there.
That's scary,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah. It was, I hit him more than he hit me. I'll say that.
But he still was standing.
By the end, when I got him down, he was like stuck in between like the step of like the concrete in front of the building. And then there was the scaffolding. Then I was like, "I'm going to fucking just step on his head." Like, yeah. I don't know what, because I feel like he's going to get back up. And then that's when the police were coming and all that. I got out of there. But yeah, no, he was not an easy fucking...
Now, I'm looking online, Derek, and it says how to end a fight nicely. Well, these are some suggestions for next time. Let me think about it. This works in part because it buys time. Mm-hmm. Number two, you might be right. This works because it shows willingness to compromise. Number three is I understand. Number four is I'm sorry. Number five, would you read that one? I think that would probably have served you best.
Can we take a break and revisit this later? What the fuck? And then we should ask him what his email is.
Can we revisit his email real quick?
And I wonder what he said. What he would have said if I after he said you in the yellow hoodie, you're a f-it, if I ran up there and said, "Hey, can we take a break and revisit this later?" I wonder.
Would it just make him crazy and hit you, or would he just go, "All right, yeah, you're right. Maybe we should."
I don't know. I'm going to try it now, though.
Well, the computer's never like I forgot to do this in the beginning, but I'll do it now.
We should have did this in jail.
Went online and found what to say to each other.
Yeah. "Yo, I'm going to kill you. You fucking stabbed my boy on the street. Let me think about that. You may be right." I understand. I'm sorry. Can we take a break?
You're combining them at this point.
That's the best way to do it, I think.
Combine them. Now, I always do one roast joke, but I don't write it because I'm very lazy. I go to ChatGPT.
Okay.
And I let it write it.
Okay.
So this is what it came up with for you. I warn you, they're not always good.
Okay.
Derek Drescher's comedy is like his hairline. Starts strong, but eventually just fades out.
That's pretty good.
But I don't even know. Does your hairline fade?
It's bad.
It doesn't seem like it does. Oh, it does. Okay, yeah, I did not. Not terrible.
Yeah. Are you sure you didn't get that from Gio Perez? No. Very similar.
Chat GEO. Or is it GIO? I don't know. ChatGPT. I always do. I wrote down a few questions. But
well, so now that you see my hairline, Jim, because you've been doing comedy for a long time, very respected comedian. Do you think that's a good joke?
No, it's a terrible joke because. Your hairline is just kind of a normal guy's hairline.
Yeah,
it's
not 43-year-old man's hairline. Yeah, yeah.
And it's also really soft and corny.
Okay.
But eventually fades out. So no, it's a ChatGPT. Is it terrible? You should have seen the one for Chaz Palminteri. That was like offensively
bad.
Very bad.
Okay.
And we've come. Oh, this one I wanted to ask you too. Because right. I have a bad for Conbody.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, are they all jail workouts in Conbody? Because I went to the website. Is it all cons that actually, or ex-cons that work there?
Yeah, it's all ex-cons that work there. We don't hire. We don't hire sex offenders or snitches because that's bad for business.
So. I guess so, although that's probably the best if you want to learn how to run. I want to jog. All right, well, let's get that guy's older sister. She'll show us how to get out of there.
So this is Kass, right? Kass was given, he's the owner and CEO of Combody. He also owns a weed distributor downstairs called Combud. That also only hires you if you've been incarcerated.
Okay, good.
So he was convicted, I think, in his early 20s. He was supposed to do 15 years. He was a cocaine addict. Not addict, cocaine dealer. He lived a very decadent lifestyle, I guess you could say. He was very... He was heavy. He was a heavy guy.
Yeah.
Grossly overweight. Sure. And they let him know while he was in prison, they're like, listen, if you continue to go this way, you know, your blood pressure, cholesterol, this, they're like, you're not going to you'll die in here before you can get out. And he lost like 70 pounds in the first 6 months he started working out. All these other guys gravitated towards him, and he helped like a 20 guys lose 1,000 pounds.
Oh, wow.
Combined. Yes. So the workouts are designed of what you would do in solitary. Because, you know, some places you're not allowed to use weights or anything like
in
that.
Solitary.
In solitary, yes.
So you're not even getting, like, I've seen prison guys who use two sinks, mm-hmm. and they do, like, fucking dips in between. It's crazy, the
gallon jugs,
creativity.
All that shit. Yep, yep. Towels to do your pull-ups off the cell. So yes, it is stuff that you could do in a cell.
They do pull-ups with towels?
Yeah.
That's very difficult.
Wrap around the bar.
Have you done those?
Not in a long time. I used to do, my favorite pull-ups were choo-choo trains.
What are those?
So I'd smoke a cigarette while I was doing the pull-up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I got some pictures. I'm like, I am not in good shape anymore. I am still a good coach. I still train people to do the marathon every year. Basically, they use my training plan. They don't get injured. They fucking start the marathon. They finish the marathon. That's one of my proudest accomplishments.
Sure.
But when I was probably about five, 6 years ago, pretty shredded, always doing the choo-choo trains every chance I could
get. You still smoke?
I vape now.
Okay, you vape. Yeah, the choo-choo train. Prisoners have the fucking, the most creative ways of doing things. Like, it's crazy when you think of... grilled cheese being made on the radio. Like all these things that you guys do is fascinating.
So there was this guy back in the day when I went to jail. His name was Drip. You would call him like the tear mother. He was a man. He was gay. And he had a tattoo teardrop. That's why we called him Drip.
Because he had killed someone?
They say there's all different reasons for it now. One is you killed somebody. One is you lost somebody. You're sad.
Yeah.
So they say the original tattoo teardrop if you got that, it meant you were somebody's property.
Oh, really?
And then eventually what happened is one of the men who had become somebody's property killed his owner.
Yep. Okay.
And then it became...
Different meaning.
Yeah, but I don't know how true that is. You know, this is, you know, stuff I've heard.
And how about guys that had it around that time? Did they have to go around explaining? Like, no, look, I killed somebody. I'm not property.
I mean, the last thing I want to ask a guy with a teardrop is...
Yes. Are you going to kill me or can I fuck you at will?
So this guy, Drip, he was the man, right? And he was one of those guys who I saw having consensual relations with people.
Sure.
But he had this whole apparatus to make coffee, right? So And he was a funny guy too, but I just remember him. He goes, yeah, this is my coffee maker. You know, if you ever need something, come ask me. And he goes, a lot of people use a sock for a filter, but he goes, I like to use boxers. And I was just like, ugh, why would you use boxers? And he's like, because it tastes like nuts. Like that was his, but I mean, I know it's a hack, but that was his humor. He was a great guy. Yeah. But the shit that you see created, the artistry, like I remember having things sent to my mom for her birthday that was like real well-made like stuff, you know what I mean?
And would the food taste, again, it's a relative thing, but would it edible?
I mean, the thing, there's only a couple like eating food directly from like the jail or the prison will make you sad.
Yeah.
Because you know you would never eat this.
Yeah.
Like outside. But if you work in the kitchen or you have money in your commissary, you could eat pretty decently.
How bad are the roaches?
Some places it's really fucking bad.
That would drive me.
It's disgusting.
Crazy. Yeah, and yeah. I always amazed when there's a full cell, there's guys on the top bunk, bottom bunk, and then the floor. The floor seems like the worst place.
Horrible. In some places you go to too, especially for a lot of jails, the bullpens are just packed. It's literally like 60 guys in there.
Yeah.
Fucking some dude's homeless, some dude's dope sick, another dude just gang member, you gotta watch out for him. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah, that's terrifying.
Yeah.
Okay, we have anybody else on the phone?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Hello, you're on the phone with Derek and Jim.
Holy shit. See, look at that.
What is that?
They fucking made a dumbbell out of batteries.
Oh, wow.
There's no way that if they find that thing, it's getting taken away.
It
no.
looks like bullets almost.
Bro, you could... That is a fucking weapon.
Yeah, it's a bunch of batteries. Kind of. It almost looks like a piece of sushi, but with batteries in it. Yes. That looks delicious. Yeah. With a bunch of batteries, they're geniuses. I mean,
yeah.
But again, criminal minds are committing crimes. It's not easy to do to get away with it.
Yep. There's a little light.
You're on the phone, sir.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
No, I guess I'm the first woman to call today.
Oh, my
Hello, man.
God.
How are you guys?
You are, what an anomaly this is. Howdy, what is your name, miss?
My name is Marissa.
Hi, Marissa.
How you doing, Marissa?
My question for you guys is, and I'll try to keep this short. My mom was in, after she divorced my father, she was in a relationship with a guy with a horrible alcohol problem for like 20 years. He started drinking again a few years ago, and unfortunately he gets kind of violent when he gets drunk, and things kind of came to a head when my brother was visiting and he threatened them with a loaded gun. He's now in prison, but he gets out in 9 months. It's not, and he has a pretty long record too, so it's not really a long sentence. But anyway, my question is, how do you know, like, I'm kind of worried about when he gets out of prison and like if he'll sort of come either. I mean, he'll be on bail for like 3 years or not bail.
Parole.
Parole. Yeah. Probation. That's what I was trying to say. Parole. Yeah. For like 3 years. But historically, he's not one to really follow those kinds of rules too well. So just any advice about what, you know, how to kind of handle things after he gets out of prison?
This is a Derek question. Yeah. My suggestion would be to move, but that's not the right answer.
Pretty good, Jim.
Well, that's on the table.
Sure.
Yeah.
That is on the table.
Is there been any... Yeah. So obviously there's order of protection from him against your family, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And does...
Him and my brother. Yep.
So do they want to... Does the family want to have any correspondence or communication with him or no?
No.
Okay.
No. My mom, no. He terrorized her a lot before that, like, was pretty verbally abusive and threatening, and So fortunately, she's at the point where, because this has happened before, not this bad.
Right.
But, and
yeah, the loaded gun is
back with them, despite us. Yeah.
The loaded gun is
that's
a lot.
A whole different story. Yeah.
So this is the thing. I mean, if do you think if he like really if he got sober, didn't drink anymore, and really started doing decently in his life, do you think you all would let him back in, or no? I mean, it would take a lot. I
and
would
is
imagine.
He sober?
Yeah.
No. And unfortunately, too, and I'm a psych nurse, so unfortunately I see this a lot in my work. He's got a lot of mental health issues.
Oh,
like,
yeah. It's going to take years.
He might even have
Yeah. So,
yeah.
This is a tough one.
So moving is not correct. Do you have a house or an apartment?
So I have an apartment, but one of the ideas is, and I live about an hour and a half. We live in Maine, but an hour and a half from each other. And we're looking at buying like a duplex or like a house with an in-law apartment. Of course, it wouldn't, this day and age, it wouldn't be impossible or hard even for him to figure out where she was living.
Yeah.
So, it's not foolproof by any means, but unfortunately he's not well, even when he's not drinking, and we're just worried, honestly. Yeah.
It's, the thing that sucks too, is that he probably, even being in jail or prison, he probably should be in like a hospital for a long time.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. Some kind of institution.
Well, that's the thing, but he, yeah, I agree with you completely, but he's one of those guys who they don't, he's never been one to accept any sort of mental health treatment, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah. He's an asshole.
He thinks it's all, Yeah.
My advice to you is whatever is going to make you and your family feel safe, I think that's what you guys should do.
Yeah.
See, my advice is not too helpful. I was going to say buy disguises and then walk around in plain sight. The whole family with Groucho glasses.
With the fake nose and glasses.
But playing the cymbals. Kind of the way Richard Kuklinski would hide out when he fucking would kill people. The Iceman went into a party dressed like a woman. They all looked at him and then he jabbed somebody, allegedly.
For real?
That's what they say.
Oh, shit. Kaczynski.
No, Kuklinski.
Oh, go Richard.
Kaczynski was Ted Kaczynski. Old
Dad,
Teddy.
Yes,
old
yes,
Teddy,
yes,
as
yes.
I call him. Yes. He's the Unabomber. Lonely man, shit in the woods. And Richard Kuklinski was just a real party hound.
Yes.
The Iceman. All right. Thank you very much. Good luck to you.
Yes, good luck. Seriously.
But try a virtual mailbox. We were reading about that.
All right, thank you both.
Maybe a virtual mailbox could work. Things like that. Or you could just hand him an Apple tag and say, can you carry this around with you? And he won't know what it is. And then he'll always know where he is. But be careful. That's helpful, Jim.
Yeah. I hope they keep that order of protection going, too.
Yeah. You mean when he's out, instead of saying he's okay now?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty rough shit. Fucking loaded handgun.
Scary.
Yeah.
Yes, you're on the phone. Next caller. We're here to save your life.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello, James.
Hello.
Hi. I'm well, sir. Hey, first of all, I do have a question, but I think it's hilarious. The people that I've been listening to your podcast, the people that call in that are wanting to get into show business and be in comedy. And I mean, no disrespect, everyone's got to have a dream, but like they have the personality of a fucking Russian poker player. Like it just, there's just icy, quiet, like first thing first, dummy, like stop being so nervous. Like that's the thing. It's, nobody's going to make it if they don't fucking get out of their own way.
It has seemed like a real cavalcade of autistic Scandinavians. I know what you mean. Very deadpan folks. So what is your question? You're not wrong.
I don't fucking know. I'm a crushing bore myself. But I will say this. The guy that gets called in saying, I want to be present. How do I be present? And then that was just a thin facade for him to talk about wanting to fuck his mom.
Well, it was just, you think that he just wanted to tell us that his sister, he basically wanted to rub it in his fat brother's face. That he got me, God, my prick tooted on.
That is, I think he may have had an ulterior motive calling in, is my point, Jim.
He may have, but whatever it was, we enjoyed the call, and good luck to him.
And he had a good sense of humor, too.
He sure did.
Yes.
All right. You stink. Bye.
All right. Goodbye. Yeah, that's crazy. The older sister, you don't normally hear that.
10 years older.
Yeah, Jesus. Big difference.
And then she was molested by her older brother.
Yeah.
cum rolls down hills, huh?
Sure does, yeah. And you figure the older brother could have just spared the sister, and then he could have fucking went after the younger brother.
Something, yeah.
Jesus, keep it between the brothers, Kay. All right, you're on the phone.
It's probably going to sound like a fucking cliche, but you guys both have experience in recovery, so why not? Does it ever get to the point, or when does it get to the point, when you feel like you're out of the woods, or is it always any day now I'm going to break? Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I hear you. You could definitely get out of the woods. They say, this is going to sound cliche and bad too, but they say like it usually takes, however long it took you to walk into the woods, that's how long it's going to take you to walk out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which means you just got to like put in work and stay on top of it and, you know, put your recovery first and all that.
Yeah. People sometimes criticize my sobriety because after a week I started saying, I'm home free. And I gargle with whiskey and I spit it at people. I like to show them that I'm the master of my reality. No, you can never, it's a day at a time. You can never feel like you have it licked totally.
Yeah.
You can feel like you're comfortable and that you're doing the right thing and it's not likely to happen, but you're always going to be on guard and aware. And just again, don't be so complacent that you think it can't happen.
Right. And the obsession will get lifted eventually too.
It does. Yeah. Thank you. Welcome. And the obsession of smoke took longer for me. That was a really
cigarettes
hard one.
Is the worst, man. Like I'm still a crazy nicotine addict.
It's very hard.
Any way I can get it. That's how I need it. I smoke four vapes a day. It's insane.
Next caller, you're on. But I got lucky. I quit in 2001. And actually, I've told the story. Esty from the Comedy Cellar took me around the corner and got me fucking the patch. And like that, I did it through the patch, but it was hard. It was rough. And I fattened up. Ooh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh. When you stop smoking, you eat everything.
Yeah. It's the oral thing. Yep. Hello, you're on the phone. What's your name? I hear a bunch of weird noises. Name? You sound like Twinkie.
Oh, shit. This is none other. Is that Gio Perez? What's up, Pop?
Can you hear me now?
Oh, hello.
Maybe it's not Gio Perez. It is Gio Perez.
Yo, what up, Derek?
What's going on? What's up, Pop?
Hi, Gio. How are you?
This is me and Gio have a podcast together called On the Gate. Gio's also a former heroin addict and ex-con.
Okay.
Yes.
Welcome to the show.
All right, that was the only reason I called, to make sure you promote the podcast.
Yeah.
That is a great point. This is a good co-host because I'm a shit. I didn't think to promote the podcast, and then the co-host, and neither did you, and the co-host goes, hey, you fucking promote the podcast. You're absolutely right, Gio.
Sorry, pal.
Yeah, I was like, yo, I wanted to make sure you mentioned my name, too. So I was like, all right, bet.
Gio Perez, very funny comedian. Check him out on Instagram at GioPerez86. Also listen to his podcast, On the Gay Podcast with Derek Drescher on the Gas Digital Network.
Awesome. And we put it in the description, Gio. I will make absolutely sure of it after this threatening phone call.
You're man, Jim. Okay.
Thanks, pal. Good talking to you.
No, I'm driving right now, so I'm going to let you guys go.
All right, buddy.
All right, be good, man.
I love how he was telling us when the call was going to end.
But I like that. He has good instincts.
Yes.
That's a good co-host. He says, promote the podcast, and then he says, talks, gets a good laugh. All right, guys, got to wrap up. I'm out.
I know he's driving around like, this motherfucker didn't even mention the goddamn podcast, man. I'm trying to change my life.
All right. Well, he's right, and we will make sure we put it in the actual promo or in the description. We must have another one. We have a lot of callers today. Yes, you're on the phone with Derek and Jim.
I was actually calling to talk to Pal and Terry, but no big deal. I'm actually glad I got you, Mr. Norton, on the phone.
Thank you.
It's actually odd how putty works. I don't know if you believe in this or not. Everything happens for a reason. Do you remember living in Fairview?
In Fairview?
Jersey?
Yeah.
I never lived in Fairview.
It's ironic only because my ex-partner was your landlord, Ivan. I don't know if you remember him, the younger gentleman.
I don't really.
He actually told me that you guys were on.
I don't really remember. We did. Wait, did we get robbed?
I think so. Yeah. I think that happened while you guys were there. Yeah.
I know the door. Hold on. I know the door got kicked in one time, but that was because Florentine was doing a prank call with Don Jameson where they were pretending that they were giving the girl an abortion against her will. And the telemarketer called the police and the cops came and Jim was already gone. They kicked in the door and I was probably on the road with Dice and I came back and the door was kicked in. But I don't remember getting robbed. Maybe that happened before I got there or after I left. But I remember that place. And we're going to let you go. It's kind of hard to hear you, but you're cutting out just a bit.
Yeah. So, no, the reason why I'm calling is I, you know, I'm a jack of all trades, plumbing by nature, but I got injured. I want to get into the acting industry and whatnot, and I don't know where, basically, how to start. You know, I've always been told I'm kind of funny and, you know, whatnot. And, I mean, what do you suggest? What, take acting classes? I mean, my main question actually is this. Like, when you're on set, you've been on plenty of them.
Yeah.
Do they, like, do you actually read the script? Or does, like, the director, like, whisper in your ear, like the other guy doesn't know what's going on. He comes into your ear, he's like, all right, you just found out this guy just fucked your wife or something. You know what I mean? And then, like, go.
No, they couldn't then, tell me that because then I'd start jerking off. But I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying.
You know what I'm trying to say.
Yes, here's what happens. They don't know. The director doesn't come and whisper stage direction. What will happen is you'll read the script. You're expected to know your lines. This would have been a good Chaz Palminteri question, but I mean, even I, as a very blinking average actor, can tell you, you should know your lines. And if there is stage direction to give, he might give you something like, hey, don't forget, this guy just stole from you or whatever. But normally, no, they don't come over.
I've been in one movie. And I was she was an independent director. She's actually the movie she's done as well. But she, you know, what she said to me before we started filming, she goes, "Everything you rehearsed, forget it."
Oh, really? That's helpful.
I was like, "What the fuck?" She's like, "Yeah, just whatever. Say whatever comes to mind."
Oh, the kind of like it was kind of like a Christopher Guest kind of like yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I would say this: take acting classes. That's the best advice I can give you about acting. Take acting classes and see where it goes. But don't wait on it. Just do it. Okay,
just do it.
Just do it, man.
Recommend or any place that you would recommend, or you know, like.
No, I would say just look again. The city. There's a million places to do it, buddy. There's a million places in the city.
And then research who the whoever's facilitating it. You know, see what they've been in, see what they've done, and all
sure. And who else may have gone to school there?
Right.
All right. Thank you, man, and good luck. But don't sit on it. Actually, try it. Okay. But I hope he does.
Yeah, I hope he does well.
I encourage people to try it because the worst that can happen is it doesn't work out. But you'll never forgive yourself if you don't try it.
Right. He seems like a lively.
He's a character.
Yeah, he's a character for sure.
All right, we got a couple more callers. Yeah. Who's on the phone? What's your name? State your business.
All right. Okay, that's good. So, Jimmy, I've had a girlfriend for nearly 3 years. I think she's awesome. I wouldn't change anything about her. Within a couple of months, she's going to be moving in with me, and I've been cheating on her like nonstop for the past 3 years. And when she moves in, I want to continue cheating. Up until this point, I think I've been really good at hiding
my
cheating and seeing other girls, but I'm kind of worried about when she moves in. Like, it's probably a high chance that I'm going to get caught. So, I assume that you have probably lived with girls before while you've been cheating. So I just wanted to know if you had any advice for me of how I can try to, you know, keep the girlfriend here and happy because I am excited to live with her.
Sure.
I really like her.
Sure.
But I want to keep cheating. How can I do both, as crazy as it sounds?
Sir, I'm going to say this. You've come to the right place. I would say, first of
all. I know, Jimmy. Jimmy, I know.
Make sure that when she moves in, make sure you come home late at night. Do weird things like walk in and go into the bathroom and immediately wash your dick for no reason. And then get water all over your pants and just say, I like a clean dick. Do all these things. Wash your hands. Brush your teeth immediately. Things. Have a different colored hair on you. But when she knows you're out with a guy, come back and act all kinds of weird, because this way your fucked up schedule won't throw her when you begin the cheating.
Yeah, she's going to be used to it.
She'll be used to your weird behavior.
Yeah.
Are you a cheater in relationship? Thank you for the call, man. I would suggest not to do it because life becomes very complicated.
Yeah.
And you will get caught. You will get caught. So if you're willing to throw this girl out, then do it. But if you love her and you don't want to, address the sex addiction.
Yeah.
I know. For me, I'm in sex. I get it. Address the sexual addiction.
I appreciate it. I think I've been doing like all of that. I understand. Yeah, you do have to do weird shit. You got to make weird routines. You need to not let her know where you are. You got to not let her see your phone screen. It's just when she lives here, it's going to be a lot harder.
It's much harder. Yeah, like, well, here's what you do.
I'm going to try.
Like, don't do anything that gives it away. Like, I had a tell. We all have a tell.
Yeah.
Like, every time I would cheat, I would come home and pop lock in the living room. And whenever she would see me pop locking for more than 15 minutes, she's like, you were unfaithful, weren't you? I said, yes, I was. I didn't wear a condom. And I would do the worm. That was my game.
I agree, and yeah, like I think I probably have a tell, I just don't know it. And also, just as you are, Jim, I'm not a fan of condoms either.
All right, God bless. All right, thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Now, Derek, are you a cheater or are you a faithful guy?
I've cheated before, but not with the girlfriend I have now.
Sure, that would be a stupid answer.
No, I've been completely faithful to her. Love her so much. But yeah, no, I don't have the. I feel like I just don't got the energy anymore. I ran out of gas, Jim.
That's exactly it. I ran out of gas. Mm-hmm. But it's okay. It's an okay place. You ran out of gas in a place that you're happy to be.
Yeah, for sure. I ran out of gas with drugs, crime, and all that, being a bad person.
Yeah, I had a tanker truck for a long time. And I was like, especially the Terminator when he just keeps going.
Yeah.
That's what it was like. I had plenty of gas, and I was just, it was a wrecking ball.
Trucking along.
Lying. Cheating, not giving a fuck, like, and then that life is so much simpler now.
Yeah,
I just wait till she falls asleep and then I jerk off in my office. It's great. It's fucking great. I'm going to bed. My favorite words to hear.
Right.
Her snoring in the next room. I can tug it. All right, go ahead. How long have we been on for?
An hour six.
Oh my God. Okay. Jesus. I think it was like 40 minutes. All right, we'll do one or two more calls. We'll wrap it. I have to go to the cellar. I have spots.
Oh, nice. Hey. Happy to be on.
Of course you are. Should be.
My name is Jonathan.
Hi, Jonathan.
kind of fun to follow the dirty cheater. I hope somebody hears his voice.
I hope he gets away with it forever. I literally...
You want to live through him?
I'm 100% team him. I hope that she's itching her pussy, has no idea what's going on. She never suspects a thing. I hope she dies. I hope she fucking dies not knowing.
I believe him. I believe him that he loves her, too.
Yes.
He's like, I'm so excited to move in with her. I got to figure this out.
I loved my grandmother, but I stole from her to drink, to do drugs. Like, you do terrible things when you're in the middle of it.
Yep.
Yes, it's true. So what's up, buddy?
I mean, that is there. Addiction is, I was going to ask for, advice for a young comic, but that guy kind of made me feel like an idiot.
The guy who called in?
Questions like that. I didn't, I haven't listened to you a lot, and I was like, I bet he gets that a lot.
Yeah.
I've been in it for a couple years, and... just trying to be better about being present and, obviously, and trying to be cleaner and work into telling story, being able to tell stories. And, I don't know.
How old are you?
For a young budding comic?
How old are you?
I'm 39 years old.
39, okay.
39.
I would say the advice I give everybody, write as much as you can, tape every set, and listen to them.
Yeah.
Don't be lazy. Tape the sets. You do tape. I don't tape as much as I should, but I still have somebody every time I shoot my hour, somebody comes down, videotapes it, and he sends it to me. And sometimes I watch, sometimes I don't, but you have it.
Yeah, I get better from, even though sometimes I'd hate doing it because I hate listening to myself, but yes. Listening to audio, watching video, if an act out worked, all that stuff. It helps,
right.
it helps things get better.
All right. Thank you for the call. We got to wrap up because we're going longer than I thought. To the people on the phone still waiting, apologies. That time flew. I can't believe it's over an hour. You're really a fun guy to talk to.
I had a blast. Thank you for having me here.
And where can everybody see? Because I don't need fucking Geo on me. Where can we? Where can they hear your podcast?
On the Gate podcast with Geo Perez and Derek Drescher. It's on the Gas Digital Network. If you're not a subscriber of Gas, just use code OTG. And you'll be able to get access to all our older episodes. And you can follow me at Derek Drescher on Instagram. And my link tree will have all my dates and stuff in there.
Yeah, and I love the fact that you talk about being in jail. It's really an interesting life, and you're funny, and it's really great, man.
I appreciate you. Thank you so much for having me,
Jimmy. Of course, buddy. Thank you for coming on. Appreciate it. And now before we go, we need to do an outro catchphrase. We don't have one. No one can think of one. I don't know if you're a good catchphrase guy, but if you got one, please. A good outro catchphrase.
Damn.
And that's it. Goodbye.
Thank
Thank you so much for calling my show. The episode's over, it's time to go. Good luck, stupid, good luck, stupid. I hope everything works out. Good luck, stupid, good luck, stupid. Don't blame me when it doesn't work out. Good luck, stupid, good luck, stupid. Don't blame me when it doesn't work out.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.